Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. This is Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and I'm in the studio with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Chris.
It's good to see you.
I know. Good to be back. I guess we did well together last time. So now you're back here hosting, right?
They let me on again.
You got the thumbs up.
And Dr. David Stoop.
How you doing? Hey, Chris. Good.
Good
to have you here.
It's great to be in studio. We were saying on the first show that we did earlier in the week that it'd been a while that we'd all been together. So
Now we're having a regular party.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love being with you guys. I love the wisdom you bring. And you know, I was telling somebody this that was asking me about being on the show, and I said, one of the great joys that I have is I get to learn from the best of the best. I take away as much or more so than I ever give on this show. So great to be with you.
Yeah, it does go both ways, and that's part of the fun of it, right? We kind of bounce off of each other.
Absolutely. And we get to be part of a mutual admiration society. So.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, excellent. I do want to talk a little bit about the life recovery conferences that we do. I get to be a part of them. I'm probably a little bit biased, but I love them. And this, we're going to do one October 5th here in Irvine, California at Mariners Church. And it's 12 Steps to Happier Conference. And I was just really excited about this. One, because I tend to be a miserly person. I tend to take myself way too seriously.
Well, you hide it well.
I have to show up happy, you know. But no, I really do. I struggle with kind of the blues or taking things too seriously. And so what is the importance of happiness in our life?
Well, I think it colors everything, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the cliche of happiness is a choice, I do think there's truth to that, because happy people are not always the people that have the easiest lives, right?
Not at all. Absolutely.
Not at all. It's finding joy in things in spite of our circumstances.
Yes.
Right?
But there's a result. They're healthier. They live longer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
They get,
the research has shown that.
There's more out of life that they get. Mm-hmm. They get more rewards out of life because they anticipate them.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think there's a balance there. Like, I don't think we're just talking about superficial happiness.
No, not at all,
right?
Yeah.
But it's a way of approaching life. And it's not just being Pollyanna and denying anything negative. Because you see those people that don't deal with their feelings at all. And that isn't the goal. But it's to be able to look at things honestly, realistically, right, and deal with our stuff, which then brings a certain joy. And then choosing our outlook. Instead of always seeing everything from how we've been, you know, cheated or slighted or, right, from a negative viewpoint, or people are out to get us, it's choosing to look at things as they are.
It's having a new pair of glasses, going from the negativity, misery glasses to having the positive, hopeful expectancy glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference in how we experience life.
Yes.
And how we relate to other people and the whole ballgame.
And life recovery is just about that. It's about recovering the life that God has intended for us.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly in this life, Jesus promises us troubles. There are hardship. There is suffering, as he has showed us. But there is a God of great joy. Mm-hmm. There is a God of great happiness. And happiness brings health to our bones, as you were saying, health to every part of our body. So If you want 12 steps to happier, if you want to increase the happiness in your life, please join us October 5th here in Irvine, California. You can visit on website under the Life Recovery Groups or liferecoverygroups.com for more information. And when we get back, we're going to go right to the phones and we're going to see who we can help out today and bring more happiness and hope to. Mm-hmm. We will be right back after this break.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, this is Chris Williams sitting in for Steve today, and I'm hosting
yes,
with...
Yes, you are hosting. You're in the hosting
in
seat.
In the room, in the studio, with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. David Stoop. And so with that, I want to get right to the phones. So let's go to Ann in Orlando, Florida, listening on WTLN. Ann, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And
you're there with a lot of others.
Yes, it sounds like you're
in a crowd.
In a busy room. Yes, we can hear you.
I'm getting out. Yeah,
okay.
No problem.
I had to drop. I've been on hold so long. I decided to leave out. Then
I believe it. Thank you for your perseverance.
You have things to get done. Hey, yeah, we are glad that you stayed on. How can we help you today?
Okay, so my question is, should I feel guilty about wanting to divorce my husband? And so that's the question. So here is the background. We've been married 7 years. Okay. I caught him in affairs 3 different times in the same year. The ultimatum was go to Every Man's Battle. He went to Every Man's Battle. Right after that, we went to Restore. We've been to several of the Weekend to Remembers on the Focus on the Family side. He's been in counseling since he's been to EMB. He's been in counseling every Sunday night, except when he acts out, he doesn't get on the call. He told me when he finished EMB that he could not have sex. So we don't have sex because he says that EMB says they can't have sex, which is not true.
Yeah.
I've looked at a lot of TV for the New Life TV, and he fits the perfect description of a narcissist. He's very controlling. When I ask him to spend time with me, he gets mad and don't talk to me for days.
Wow.
He's in counseling. He's in personal counseling because he can't get over the fact that his dad left him when he was a child. He's in his 60s. And so the straw that broke the camel's back is March. I caught him smoking marijuana, and he said he just did it for a few times, but I found a big jar in the shed with the paraphernalia, the grater, and all this stuff. And I think he's been doing it the whole 7 years. He just got caught because I was home that day during the day. He worked at night. And so we vacation well, but once we get behind closed doors, I feel like Cinderella with my carriage turns into a pumpkin. But a couple of weeks ago, I paid on his bill, a credit card bill he was supposed to pay, and I paid $3,000 on it because we had agreed that that's what we would do. Well, he got furious, but he didn't know. He didn't stick around to read online that I put it on a credit card. He just came in there screaming at me, "You took my $3,000. You better put it back right now. You better give me my money. Give me my money." I'm this close to killing you.
No, wow.
I'm this close to killing you.
Okay, so.
And I said, you know.
Wow.
So, Ann, we're getting.
So, if you're that angry.
Yeah.
You don't want to touch me. No matter what, you come up with all these lies. You lied about the weed. You lied about everything. You lied about the, you know, the affairs. But you could, I could prove it to you, and that's the only reason you fessed up to it. Mm-hmm. But he wrote down, and I know I probably shouldn't read his journal, but he said the thing that keeps him from doing better is his arrogance and his pride.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, again, there is a lot here, Ann, and you've been through a lot.
I'm done.
Okay, say that one more time.
I am done.
And what are you done with?
The marriage.
And what about the marriage are you done with? I want you to get specific. Yeah. Well, I am done with this type of
behavior. I am done with him. I am done with him treating me like a doormat. I am done with him treating me like I'm just the roommate. I am done with all the lies, and I can feel lonely by myself, and I feel guilty because I feel good that he's left. The police came. I called the police as soon as he said he felt he was this close to killing me.
Good.
And he does
great
love
job.
Money, and I just can't. I can't not do this. I've
absolutely.
Done it
for so let me ask you this. It sounds like the guilt is in the way. When the guilt shows up, what does it say to you? If the guilt had a voice, it says what?
Why are you so happy?
Oh.
And you wasn't happy when he was there?
That's a good question.
Yeah. You feel guilty for being happy without him.
Yes. And I feel good. I feel like a load has been lifted.
And then he
messaged me the next day and asked me, could I meet him at the bank so he can take my name off of our joint account.
Have you gotten legal counsel?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, because it sounds like he's moving. With the police being called, it sounds like he's moving in that direction. Anne.
Yeah. So,
you have tried to do a lot of things.
Yeah, but I'm curious, Anne, how long has this message been in your life that somehow you don't either deserve or worthy of happiness?
Well, I think from a child, I watched my dad beat my mom like really badly, and she would still stay. So I think I should still stay. I've been thinking that until recently. And so now I just want out.
Yeah. You know, we had.
He's never going to change.
Yeah, we were talking in the opening segment about sometimes, and it sounds like it was modeled to you, that we somehow put on a virtue or an attribute that is not a good one at all. Like, for instance, it's good to needlessly suffer.
Right. To endure at all costs.
And therefore, we can adopt the alternative, and that is it's bad to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, the guilt. Let me just ask you a simple question. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Okay, it makes sense to you. But when you hear it back to us or say, hey, I feel guilty for not being in a dangerous situation and feeling relief and feeling happy, does that make sense to you?
No.
Your guilt's lying to you.
No, I mean, I don't think I'm getting confused in what you asked.
I get accused of that often.
Yes. I know, just reverse it.
Well, because it's counterintuitive. Well,
it can be confusing.
You've been experiencing.
Okay, can I say this?
Sure.
I was told, because I'm around spiritual people, and they said, you know, you just got to pray about it. You know, your happiness, you're trying to please the Lord. And I think I feel guilty about that. Am I not pleasing him because I'm removing myself from an unhealthy situation, a possibly dangerous situation, And it really just freaked me out because my younger brother died from drugs. And now my husband, who's in his late 60s,
yeah,
you know, who's still smoking weed, and he gets agitated. I could see it in his face. And, you know, it's just that maybe the weed was okay in the beginning, but now I think it makes him agitated.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we've talked a lot, you know, a couple, you know, days ago, we were on the radio talking about, you know, this weed epidemic that's really causing a lot of harm. But, and why I want to start with this is that I want to help you increase your sense of your own worthiness. You are valuable, and you're setting mm-hmm. boundaries around your value. And therefore, you feel better because you're no longer putting yourself in harm's way.
Well, you're also setting boundaries for your husband, who can't Without seem to set them for himself,
yes.
right? And hitting up against right. those, he may be, you know, angry about it, but in the end, it will, you know, make a difference mm-hmm. for him. It will be safer for both of you.
Absolutely.
Because certainly if he followed through on his threats, he would not be a happy camper.
Absolutely. And he would, yeah. He
right?
would be,
he'd be in a world of hurt and punishment.
Well, when he told me in March, when he told me he didn't have any more, I said, well, if I find some, he said, if you find some, it's not for me. I said, well, maybe I should call the police and ask them to come and let them know that some stranger is coming in our yard and putting weed in our shed.
That's perfect.
That is beautiful.
And you're brilliant.
And yeah,
said,
that's a real problem.
Go ahead. He said, go ahead and call them. As soon as I dialed and I said, hi, you know, I need for you to come to this address. You know, I think somebody's coming in there. And he left, and he stayed gone for 2 days because he thought I was
yeah.
really calling the police.
Well, and Anne, if I could, you know, again, jump in here. We want to give you some practical steps here. Dave here in the studio, I think you would affirm this, is like we really need to get you into an Al-Anon process, your own mm-hmm. recovery process. So checking out a recovery group of something like Al-Anon will help you get the support you need, the clarity that you need, and realize that, your guilt is lying to you, and that what you're doing is mm-hmm. actually a really, really mm-hmm. good thing.
Well, you are so used to the other kind of thinking that it seems like it can't be true, but it is true, and you need to be with people who can affirm that and help you to stay with that process and not give it up to go back to the old way.
Yeah.
And by taking a step out, mm-hmm. right, and separating at this point is what you would be doing, and getting the help and setting the boundaries, you're giving your husband opportunity to kind of wake up
yep.
and say what he wants.
And I like to put it like this. I'm going to get out of the way of your issues so you
right.
can deal with them.
Yep.
And I can. I don't have to be, like you said, the doormat or the scapegoat.
The target.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to get out of the way so you can deal with your issues. And we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. That's going to really help you start identifying, again, more of these core patterns and more of the understanding what your husband's behavior is. And most importantly, helping you recover Anne back to Anne and back to God and Anne back to the world where you can show up a little bit better. So thank you so much for calling today. We're going to go back to the phones here. We're going to go to Mike in New York, New York, listening on Siri XM. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. Mike, how can we help you today?
So I've had a, you know, pretty much a lifelong, you know, battle with certain things. You know, I've had like 3 years, 3.5 years of no pornography, no masturbation, no contact with women I shouldn't have contact with. You know, I've done very well.
Yeah.
And I have a great wife. I have a good job. I mean, God has just like redeemed it 100 times over what I screwed up before. And just lately, I've just been having just, you know, the white knuckle temptations, you know, the struggle of like not falling into the sin and not getting trapped in it again and stuff. And, you know, I guess it's like I've never had 3 years of sexual purity in my life, in my entire
yeah.
life. I'm
yeah.
41. And so I have that now, and it's like what's the next thing for people in this, you know, when it hits you after 3 years, three and a half, it's been about 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going on that.
Mike, I'm so glad you called because this is very, very common, and I believe it's not talked about enough. And that is when we get into recovery, what happens when sort of the underlying thoughts and feelings of addiction come back to us? And it's as I said, for me, it was 18 months into recovery. I felt like I was back at week one. And so, Dave, what do you think here?
Well, you're operating on willpower, I think, Mike, and your willpower got strong. It made it for 3.5 years, but it runs out of power. It runs out of cope, and that's where you got to have a context of people, of guys that you can depend on, who are going to help you stay the course. And I don't think you have that. I'm wondering if you do.
Or sometimes it gets let go of because you're doing well.
Yeah.
Well, no, my problem with that is, and I'm just being honest, I hate talking about it. I hate it because it creates more of the thoughts and the emotions. It doesn't help me anymore to talk about my problems, you know? And I've even battled with that, you know, I should because...
Mike, let me jump in because we're right up against the break. We're going to come right back to this. Yeah, because you're bringing up something really important. And so hang on. And we'll be back to you in just a couple minutes.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back, New Life family. This is Chris Williams in studio for Steve Arterburn, or at least hosting in studio for Steve Arterburn, here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. David Stoop. We're talking with Mike. Mike, you have a really important phone call here,
yes.
And that is, I have this length of sobriety in my recovery, but it's really, really hard right now. We're struggling right now. And you said that you don't like to talk about it, so it brings up the old feelings again. And so when I hear that, when we do simply talk about the problem without a solution, that will get tiresome for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Or just talk about the problem and not talk about the rest of life and the other problems in life.
That's good, Dave, yeah.
Right, because I think, you know, like what comes to mind for me, Mike, is what's happening in your life right now? Okay, what are the stressors? Because as our stress goes up, our coping goes down. a lot of times. And we can default to old coping when we're in more stressful situations or there's something different. So has anything changed for you?
Well, changed how? Give me an example.
Well, what's happening stress-wise in your life? Are there any changes at work, any changes in relationship, life changes, something that's happened that makes you anxious, something that's triggered some inadequacy in you?
The ongoing frustration from my ex-wife and dealing with her because we have a kid together, I mean, that alone
is pretty stressful.
Because talk about two people that never should have got married, you know. It's like fighting fire with fire, and there's no resolution there. Mm-hmm. There's no fixing anything. She's a narcissistic woman. It's raising my daughter that alienates my daughter from me. That kind of stuff really bothers me.
Okay, so Mike, let me just jump in here real quick for time's sake. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous calls resentment the chief offender. And what that means is that when we have built up resentment in our life, it'll drive us to medicate that in our addiction quicker than anything else.
Well, and resentment over time zaps us of hope, right?
Yes.
It feels like it's never going to change. And
divorce, it's never going to change.
Yeah, and divorce situations, right. We have to change some. But divorce situations, after a period of time, you just start to feel like, oh my gosh, is this going to be forever?
Yeah.
So that's what you talk about in a recovery group. You talk about what's going on today. If all you can talk about is your addiction, that would get old, very old.
Right.
And very tiring, and would probably fuel the addiction more than anything else. It's a place where I can bring the stress, the current stress in my life, and get support and understanding, so that it doesn't get into what Chris was saying, where you get so caught up in the resentment and the bitterness that why not use?
Right. Well, and it would be using the addiction, right, to deal with the stress instead of going to people.
Exactly.
And instead you're saying go to people with the problems, not to the addiction with the problems.
Mm, that's exactly right.
That makes sense, Mike?
This problem with that part of my life, I mean, it's been ongoing since 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
how old is your daughter now, Mike?
She's 9.
She's 9, okay.
Okay, so you shared that problem with us, and we listened, and we understand, and we empathize with you. That's going to reduce the stress to some degree. But if it's somebody that you know and somebody that you trust, it's going to reduce the stress to a greater degree, to where you're not tempted to go back on your addiction, because you're dealing with life as it happens.
You know, Mike, and like you're saying, the addiction, when the cravings or the thoughts come up, if we treated it as a dashboard feedback mechanism, it's just a check engine light that's coming on. And so,
right.
Mike, I hear that dealing. So this is just a check engine to say that.
Yeah, the light's always on.
Yeah. Sounds like he understands cars. Good, Chris.
Well, with that said, this relationship with your ex-wife is a real ongoing pain point for you.
Yeah.
And you need some practical solutions on how to navigate it, because it's not going anywhere. And you have to deal with it. And if you feel trapped in that, you're going to feel resentful and angry, even sort of like victim. And all of in our victimhood, we're going to look for a rescuer, which is usually our addiction. All of that to say is we want to be able to give you some practical help. And I believe that understanding boundaries, understanding what is your responsibility and what is not, and being able to let her go and let her behavior go is really critically important. And what I believe is going to help you in that process is take your life back. And I would also go ahead,
well,
Jill.
I just want to jump in, because as someone who has lived through the divorce process with
please
kids,
do. Yes.
And
yes.
My youngest is turning 18 this week, it, you know, at different ages of your kids, it changes. The other parent may not be any different, but there's different nuances to the relationship. And at different stages, kids draw closer to a mom or a dad.
Yeah.
And so you want to be preparing yourself in how to be at every stage of your child's life, because your job is to be there and be responsive to their needs.
Yes, absolutely. And so, Mike, being able to do what you can and not what you can't. Mm-hmm. Control what you can, like the Serenity Prayer, and leave the rest. Again, we're going to send Take Your Life Back. I would also really encourage you to check out the Finding Freedom Conference. And there is a lot of help for you. Thank you for calling. This is an important call, but we're going to go right to the break and be back in a moment.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt loved.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back, New Life Live. Again, this is Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn. And right now we have Larry, the President Sonnenberg.
Give it up.
He so loves the notoriety.
Oh, yeah. I love that so much.
He's just a limelight soaker, you know, Larry?
Larry, we are very grateful for your guidance and leadership in this ministry. And give us an update. Where are we at?
Yes. Yeah. And before I do the update, I'll do that. But I want to remind folks why we ask you to give. And I have some closing thoughts here that gentleman made at Every Man's Battle a month or two ago here. He said, I'll preface this by saying my fear was that we would spend 3 days on 7 ways to stop acting out and looking at porn. Oh, and Jesus loves you. Thank you for getting me to the heart of the issue. My reliance on porn and acting out were symptoms of deeper issues. You helped me put a name to my toxic shame. You gave me tools and a community to journey into victory. You helped me see that I am loved. This workshop confirmed for me that sobriety is not recovery. You have to have sobriety to begin recovery, but they aren't the same. I have what it takes to fight for my wife, enter her recovery, and jump in with all my being into mine.
Wow.
That is great.
Isn't that neat?
That's incredible. Yes.
So here we have...
I think he got it.
What this ministry does, what we're all about, is helping people experience a change of thinking, a change of heart, reconnection with God, understanding that shame is a killer and you could live out of that shame zone. So if you can believe in that, then we need your support. This is a recorded program. This is Thursday's program that was recorded on Monday. On Monday, we needed $32,000 more to complete our match. I'm not going to count that we're there already, but I would love it if we were. So please give as though we need $32,000 and help us cross the finish line on the match. The other way you can help, I want to start talking more about this, is you can join Club New Life. If you'll join Club New Life, we've got a great thank you gift. We have a gift of, if you give any amount for the match or whatever reason, we've got this book from John Townsend, Safe People. Not Safe People.
That was a while back, a long time ago.
People Fuel. Yeah. I knew People was in the title. Okay. So, but for Club New Life, we've got a 7 books from the different radio hosts here that are written. They're the best of the best. I'm not going to go through the list. Call our 800 number. Tell them you'd like to get those 7 books just as your thank you gift for signing up. And there's good benefits to the program. Help us. We need your help. We love what we do. Thank you, everybody who is giving to New Life. It makes a difference.
And Larry, thank you again for all that you do for us. And yes, there's these just countless stories. You share one of literally hundreds that you could read from. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say one other thing. Last weekend, we had Women Restore Workshop. Mm-hmm. And at that Restore Workshop, we had a woman who flew here from Australia to attend that workshop.
That's incredible.
And another woman came from the United Arab Emirates.
Oh, wonderful.
So the power of what goes on through online is amazing. So thank you, everybody.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for giving. Keep giving. Keep partnering with us so we can keep changing lives. Right now, we're going to go to Michael in Peoria, Illinois, who listens on WPEO. Michael, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Excellent. How can we help you today?
Well, my mom passed away it was 12 years ago. And I just tried to make peace with the fact that she's gone. Go ahead.
What does she mean to you?
I'm sorry?
Your mom. What did she mean to you?
What was
being her son like?
Well, she was my only true friend I had. And, she just never stood in judgment, no matter how poor I was or what I did. I spent 20 years at the sheriff's office here in Illinois, and so I've seen everything, really. The worst of everything. And then I thought, well, I can deal with, my mom suffering from cancer. Mm-hmm. And I was mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was all the family I had left was her.
Oh, wow. So everybody else is gone?
Everybody's gone.
Okay. So, and with each significant loss that we have, we re-experience the previous losses. So if your mom was the last one, it sounds like you've really had a lot over the last 12 years rolled into that loss.
Everybody's gone, sadly. But I went to the cemetery. Well, I still do. Birthdays, holidays.
Yeah.
That's where I go with my lawn chair.
So, Michael, in the absence of family, we have to draw in others around us and create some sense of community. It's important for our survival, and they're never going to take the place of a mom or of other significant family members. But they do help us to live life moving forward, and I wonder how you've done that in the last 12 years, or if you have.
I'm not really sure exactly what that means, other than it's it's for better explanation, it's me, myself, and I, and that's all there is.
Yeah,
and I think that's where the problem is. And again, it's like we don't ever forget, we don't get over someone, but we get through the pain and we learn how to kind of tolerate life and create some sense of life in that person's absence, right? And we hold them near and dear, like we internalize all the good that your mom has given you over the years is a part of you, right? We internalize who they are and what they meant to us and what they, you know, developed in us. And so we kind of care, we live, you know, because of what she invested in you. And so I'm wondering why you haven't reached out to others, why you haven't made friends, haven't gotten a part of your church or, you know, people that you used to work with.
Churches. Okay. I've gone to the churches. I went to the one my mom went to when she went to church. I sat and talked to the pastor there, and he says, well, you know, time heals all wounds. Mm. And I went, you know what?
It doesn't.
Time doesn't heal all wounds. Some wounds just cut too deep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
And it's time.
And that was the answer I got. Yeah. You know, and he goes, well, you know, you could come in and pray. I said, oh, well, I'm all about it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I went in and, you know, and, you know, I sat down at the cemetery for all I know, it, not even exaggerating. I probably sat there every day for 4 months with a lawn chair and read the Bibles word for word, front to back, a King James New Version.
Yeah,
right.
Well, and it says right in there, you know.
But Michael, let me jump in. Go ahead. So,
please do.
Me, myself, and I can't get through this.
Right.
And that's okay because you're not designed to do that.
Right.
You know,
right,
and even God and me alone.
Yes, exactly.
Right, isn't enough.
Part of the problem is for you to grieve to completion, to acceptance, you have to experience anger and protest over even the death of your mom, mm-hmm. in the way she died, the fact that she died before she should have died. But you can't do that alone because mm-hmm. you avoid the anger part of grieving. And unless I do the anger part of grieving with the sadness of grieving, I stay in the grieving process. It's like it stays unfinished.
Yeah.
And you've got to have a support system around you to feel safe enough to protest the deaths of all your family members, but especially of your mom.
Right.
In that she shouldn't have had to suffer. She shouldn't have died so young. She shouldn't have. She shouldn't have. She shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to do that. It doesn't. It makes the memory clearer, and it also helps you move through the grieving to acceptance.
Yeah.
And right.
So, Michael, what I highly encourage you to do is there is grief recovery groups out there to get online, to look it up, and to see what in your area are some grief support and grief recovery groups.
Right.
And just jump in one of them and just allow yourself some time to experience it. It could be weird and awkward at first.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do, I'm actually going to send you People Fuel, what we were just talking about by John Townsend.
Idea.
And it's just going to help you develop mm-hmm. those relationships. So, Michael, thank you so much for calling in. We'll be right back.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Back here in studio, this is Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn. Again, I have Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hey.
And Dr. David Stoop. Great to be in studio with you guys today. We got some great phone calls, and we want to keep it going. We're going to go to Joe in Austin, Texas, listening on KKHT. Joe, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, tell us, how can we help you out today?
Well, I've been listening to the program for quite a while, and I've come to a situation I can't seem to understand how to deal with. I'm in a 12-step group. I've known the Lord for quite a while. And this woman I was engaged to, it didn't work out. And after a while, it became clear to me that she had addictions that I can recognize cigarettes, drugs, and alcohol pretty readily, and I get it, but her addiction is spending, going into debt, gambling, and hoarding.
Yeah.
Buying a lot of stuff that she never uses, just puts it in the room.
Yep.
And it's. I know it's not right. I mean, I know there's something wrong when it's imbalanced like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to get rid of. Well, I don't know if get rid of is not what I want to do. Process my own feelings. I don't want to leave her behind because she doesn't want to have anything to do with 12-step groups.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she complains and talks about her pain and, you know, my whole life's falling apart. I made a lot of bad choices. And it's not with drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes and things like that. It's just, you know, she's 52 and never been married. And
well, gambling's an addiction.
It doesn't. It's something that's never affected me, so I don't see, like, I can see down the long run the thing will grow. All addictions grow or they die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how do I let go to let God is my question.
Well that's great question.
And not feel like I'm abandoning her.
Okay,
yeah,
so Joe, here's you and this woman have the exact same problem. An inability to let go of that which doesn't work for you because you're afraid of abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So she can't let go of her stuff. Mm-hmm. She lives...
She's afraid of abandonment. That's a part of hoarding, is afraid to let go of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And living in this incredible scarcity mentality, so it, without any sense of power in the world or empowerment. So I'm constantly, you know, the spending and the gambling is looking for this something to rescue me out of my desperate situation while holding on to this stuff. It's hoarding. This is a person with a lot of unresolved grief and pain in her life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so, Joe, you are holding on to her. You are hoarding her because you're afraid to let go, it'll mean something about you.
Wow.
Does that make sense, Joe?
Yeah, it does. So says a lot, and I just don't. I'm sitting here not sure exactly what to do with that.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. What, sometimes we need to sit with things for a while.
We got to sit and listen to it for a little while. But if you let go of her, what is that going to mean about you? What you're afraid that this is what it's going to, you know, this is the sign that's going to be on front of me, is that I am what?
Failure. Stupid, needy.
Mm-hmm. How long
have
those signs been in your front yard?
Since I was a child.
Mm. Wow.
It just came in clear to me. My mom was an alcoholic.
Wow.
Full blown from the time I can earliest remember.
Yeah. Joe, that's
which is such a powerless situation to be in.
Yeah.
You know, as a little kid with a mom, and you can't make her better, but you don't
want
to leave her behind.
And then when you can't make your significant other better, mm-hmm. you can't leave her behind.
Right. So you just sit and watch.
Yeah.
And feel the powerlessness. But that somehow feels better than for you to move on.
Yes.
So, Joe, one of the things is that you ask a great question. How do I mm-hmm. detach myself from her? How do I separate? Well, to detach from her means you have to attach to something else.
Or be attached to something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would suggest that in detaching from her, you're going to begin a process where you're going to attach to yourself. And specifically, that little guy who grew up with an alcoholic mom who lives very uncertain and chaotic in the world, and giving and caring for him, loving him, and helping him get a sense of security and okayness in the world.
And so that means moving forward in your growth process, because that's what you're needing. Right? Instead of kind of staying back with people who won't seek help, you have to seek help for you. And that might mean that they get left behind. But that isn't your fault, because they have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'll share with you, but she won't go someplace where she could get the help and support she needs.
And she can't work out her issues through you.
Yeah.
That's not gonna work.
No, yeah. Not at all.
Man. Yeah. Do you hear that, Joe?
Yeah, I really appreciate everything y'all are saying. I'm just mm-hmm. listening, and wow, it's opening doors, and I'm seeing things that I've been blind to.
Well, and Joe...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Good.
It was just music to my ears when I heard that you're already involved in 12-step groups,
right.
And that, you know, you are attaching yourself really well to the Lord, and that you're cultivating that deep spiritual relationship. And, you know, the greatest commandment says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then Jesus adds this really important addendum that's not an addendum. It's actually an essential part of it, and that is loving others as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's sort of this earthly trinity that's set up there, that we're to live in a loving, God-defined loving relationship between mm-hmm. God, others, and ourself. And I find that there's a lot of really important work and a lot of undone work or left unfinished work in loving ourselves. And so mm-hmm. Joe, I just encourage you to get back into some therapy, into a counseling relationship where you can start unearthing some of those things and really healing out that pain from your childhood.
Yeah, I hear that. Very mm-hmm. real. The other thing is, my father was killed when I was three, just turned three.
Wow, my goodness.
And that's when my mom just fell off into the bottle.
Oh. Yeah, wow. So again, Joe, I hate to do
you
this.
You lost both parents.
Yeah, we're up against the clock. You got a lot going on here. But you have a lot of resources, and that is get back into some counseling. If you want to stay on the line, we have a network of counselors that we can point you to. I also want to make sure that you're left with a good resource, and that is Healing is a Choice. We're going to send Healing is a mm-hmm. Choice. your way. And so, Joe, stay on your journey of recovery. Stay on your journey of healing. And for everyone else out there, thank you so much for listening in today. We're very glad you're with us. And we will be back tomorrow with more New Life Live. Thank you, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. David Stoop. This is Chris Williams. Have a blessed day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.